everybody. Welcome to Hammer Down on the Market Scale Network. I'm your host, Mike Bush. And today I'm joined by the CEO of Sourcify. His name is Tim Perkins. Tim, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, Mike? Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. Tim, let's get right into it. What is Sourcify?
We are a cost-saving machine. We review organizations' CapEx budgets. We look at fleets' P&L, and we try to find them where we can save money. So where they can save money. So whether it's their equipment costs, truck parking, fuel spend, warehouse space, mergers and acquisition opportunity, distribution network optimization, all of those things, you know, take certain providers, certain costs, and not everyone knows what's out there, who's out there, whether it's robotics, whether it's just different types of equipment. And so we go out there and we scour our list of providers that we have vetted relationships with, and we put them into touch. We marry them. And so it's been going great, and we love seeing the amount of money that we're saving our customers.
Tim, that's amazing. So we, a few weeks back, we had Adam Wingfield join the show. And I don't know if you know Adam, but his vision is to say, listen, I'm going to take small trucking companies, guys that own one or two trucks, and I'm going to help them to become more entrepreneurial and grow their business into 3 trucks, 5 trucks, 10 trucks, you know, like that really early growth path. Are you a frenemy to Adam in this space, or are you the, hey, once we graduate Adam's program, then you become my perfect customer?
I do know Adam. We talked on the, we were with Trey Griggs on a podcast on Friday for that broker carrier summit that we're going to be speaking at together. And so I got to meet him. So we're probably that next layer. So we do help with business development. When I was a headhunter, and I still headhunt for some customers, those large Fortune 500 customers, they're always looking for a better carrier or a better brokerage. And so some of these smaller fleets or brokerages have really good customer service. Just maybe they don't have a way to get into these large organizations. And that's where relationships come in. So we can help scale a business. But we really do specialize in that cost savings. And so when you are buying trucks and you're looking for better parking and fuel cost is, you know, one of the top spends of any fleet, that's when really we can maximize what we do really well, which will in turn have you buy more trucks running more lanes.
Now, Tim, how did you get into this? What was the genesis for Sourcify? Why do all this?
Sure. So two big things. One, I was a headhunter, like I said. So I placed director level to C-level at a lot of large organizations, mainly Fortune 500. And so I've always had this ability and love for matchmaking, right? So I love finding people that are looking for opportunities, and I like helping organizations locate talent that can drive change in culture. And then years after that, I started a trucking company, and we grew that trucking company from 0 to 500 trucks. And being the commercial officer and one of the guys that helped start the organization, it was in the middle of COVID. And so we had no tax returns. We had nothing that we could prove. So it was my job to go hunt for parking. I had to hunt for trucks and trailers. I had to hunt for transloading opportunities. And then I realized, like, oh, my network is way larger than just for headhunting. It can be used for all different types of things. And so I did call my headhunting customers, and they said, well, Tim, we're looking for trucks. We're looking for trailers, or we're looking for multi-temps. And I said, well, let me see what I can find. And sure enough, these huge organizations were like, Tim, we're paying $10,000 more on these reefers, or we're paying $100 more in parking, or we're 10 miles out of route. So I quickly realized there's a need across the country of identifying good providers and equipment at a cost savings, because I see people taken advantage of all the time because they have an XPO on their trailer or a Walmart on their trailer. And so they're getting charged these huge prices. And they just don't know what's out there. And so that's how it kind of came to be and what we're doing now.
Tim, when I think about scaling a business focused on savings, there's a lot that goes into this, right? There's, of course, you mentioned the relationship component of it. I have to assume there's some pretty rad technology on the back end here too, to kind of make sure you're finding the best opportunities. Is that right?
Yeah. So I would say technology. One of the things though that make, I think, Sourcify different, but I know me from just a leadership standpoint, is that I think tech and AI are great. However, it's still a person that is making relationships. And so I can have tech tell me who's the best price. That doesn't mean it's the best customer. It doesn't mean that it's the best service. It doesn't mean that they communicate the most effectively. So as much as there is some technology around what is the typical price of something, if I save you $5,000 on a truck, but then the truck breaks down right after the warranty is up, did I really do my customer the right service? I'd rather say, hey, this actually may be a little more expensive, but let me tell you how it's been vetted and the satisfaction long term of this process or this service or whatever it is. So that's kind of the how I feel about AI and technology, is that I still believe in relationships and people first. And that's how I think we're going to continue to run the business. And I think that's also why we have business. It's because people trust people. And that's what we're about.
Now we're talking about relationships, and you kind of gave a little preview here. You and I are on a panel next week talking at the Broker Carrier Summit. What are we sharing out? What are we hoping to our viewers or our folks in the audience take away?
Yeah. So, you know, it was first time I've ever been to this conference. I was supposed to go last year. My dad had a surgery, and, you know, I saw the chance to speak. And one of the topics I thought was going to be important, because one, the market that we're in right now, but two, when I ran this trucking company, I didn't realize, and this was me being naive and new to the market, I didn't know that people will just lie to your face about what they can do. I didn't know that their asset count was not true. I didn't know that they said that we're an asset carrier, but they had no intent of actually using their assets. They were going to use their brokerage. I didn't know that companies said, no problem, I can do it for that price. And then 3 weeks later, hit you with a 30-cent increase or we're out. And so I started realizing that, you know, relationships and trust and transparency being that building block of a relationship is huge. And so, you know, in COVID, I used to see these brokerages and carriers charging $5, $6, $7 a mile because they could, right? Well, then all of a sudden the market changes and I'm getting calls for consultants saying, hey, Tim, how do I get more business? My customers aren't using me anymore. And I said, the same customer that you billed $7 an hour when they were hurting. And it's that full turn of the relationship. So a lot of what we're going to be talking about is transparency. Like, what does good look like? Because most salespeople struggle because they say we can do anything because they just want to figure it out later. And they're tired of hearing no all the time. So it's going to be a lot around transparency, trust, and relationship. And what does a good relationship look like to both sides to really make sure longevity is sustained within that relationship?
No, I love that point. I'm excited to actually moderate or to be on a panel with you. I think it's going to be super fun. So you mentioned a couple of the folks that, you know, we talked about Adam Wingfield. We talked about Trey Griggs. There's some heavy hitters attending this thing, man. What do you see as kind of the biggest benefit of BCS, you know, or what are you most excited about given that this is your first one?
Yeah. So I've been to just about all the conferences. This is the last one I think I haven't been to yet. And so, you know, I've been to the TIAs where it's mainly all brokerages. I've been to, you know, CSEMP, Manifest. Like, there's so many benefits, but I think that the relationship of broker and carrier is one that's literally vital in our industry. And I think that there's so much bad vibes sometimes with these brokerages because they're just, you know, smile and dialing and load boards and AI and tech that's now increasing so much that people forget. Shaking hands, eye contact, do what you say you're going to do. Literally do what you say you're going to do. And I think that's something that is so cliche, but I think it's been lost. And so I'm really interested in the networking. I'm glad that this is one of the more casual conferences. You don't feel like you got to be in a suit and tie all the time or you know, all buttoned up. So really just the networking. I'm a huge networker. As much as I do want to learn and hear the takes from other executives, I'm more excited to finally meet people in person. I love Fort Worth. It's one of my favorite places to go. And so that's the things I'm looking forward to the most.
Hey, so given your recruiting background, I hope you don't mind. I'm going to shift gears a little bit. I ask every guest on the show the same question. And I say, you know, if you're talking to a new or recent college grad, what advice would you give that kid when they said, I want to get into the industry? I'd actually like to leverage your experience as a recruiter and say, if you're talking to a newer recent college grad trying to get into the industry and they say, Tim, what can I do to stand out as a candidate? Yeah. Or what can I do to get more people interested in me? What's the best advice you give that kid?
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny. I just spoke to 30 students in Nashville last week at a conference, and I was so shocked because the first thing they did was they showed up at 6:45 in the morning on a Tuesday in downtown Nashville. And none of these students were local. So one, showing up on time, right? I know that's, again, cliche, but showing up on time. But the two things that I told these students who asked the same question was, one, you have no reason with technology to not be prepared. you should know the company's mission statement. You should know their executives as far as their name, how long they've been in business. Like, you should be prepared because you have all of the tools to know exactly who you're interviewing with. What do their recent hires look like? So one is preparation. Two, eye contact, a firm handshake. Again, extremely cliche, but as a headhunter, I told them the story of this steel manufacturing company down in Florida, and my candidate, who was a director of sales, lost the job at the very end simply because of how he shook a hand. And some people might shake their head and say, Tim, how can you make a decision on that? I understand, but there are certain cultures that eye contact and handshakes go a long way. Those would be the top two. The last one that I thought was funny was I asked them all, who have they ever broken up with someone or been broken up with via text message? And they all raised their hands. They're all like, yep, we've done it. And I said, what that shows other generations is that you have a hard time having hard conversations. You would rather just send the text than pick up the phone or have a face-to-face conversation. So you guys need to be good at having hard conversations with eye contact and then get ready because it's not easy. And as much as your feelings matter, the truth matters more. And so just get ready for a shaky ride in supply chain. Honestly, I really want to know more about Mike Bush and kind of the goals of the podcast and what you're trying to get out of this.
Yeah, you know, so I love that question. The show actually started, it was a different show name about 3 years ago. And the idea was basically to say, look, I want to place a spotlight on supply chain pros because we as an industry suck at attracting talent. Like, it all started, I was actually at a USC supply chain event, and they've got USC school, has their grad school. And I sat down literally just kind of next to, by chance, the chief supply chain officer of Starbucks. And I asked him the question, how many countries have you been to taste coffee? Because making small talk, you know, that's what networking is. And he said, more than 80. And the five kids sitting at the table that are all at, you know, in grad school at USC were like, holy cow, that's amazing. That's amazing. And it dawned on me in that moment, we're doing a terrible job of telling our story. If you talk to a mechanical engineering student and say, what do you want to do? I want to build robots is the answer, right? That's cool. But when you say, have you been to a warehouse? Have you been to a port? The answer is, of course not. And that's not the kid's fault. It's our fault as an industry because we're not saying, hey, if you want to build robots, you got to be with us. If you want to change the world, if you want to tackle sustainability, you got to be in supply chain. And we sucked at telling that story. So the more recent iteration of the show, you know, the first version of this, it was interesting to me, but I don't think it was interesting to the audience because I was like, tell me your story. What did you do? Where did you go? And all this stuff. And I think there's a lot of shows like that. You know, it was a wannabe version of This American Life meets How I Built This. And instead, I'd rather focus now on what are the problems out there? What are the things that prior to the pandemic or even post-pandemic, the general population didn't know existed, right? We know there was a toilet paper shortage because, well, we heard about it every day. So what are the other things in this industry that people don't know exist? And how do we attract more problem solvers? That's really the idea behind the show, is just to say, look, this is a cool industry. It's the biggest small industry in the world. Everybody knows everybody. We're all friends to the end. You know, there are some frenemies, of course, but how do we instill that? Like, there's a killer career opportunity in this industry. And that was really the idea, man.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. You know, one thing, because of what you just said, I remember my last company, that trucking company that we started, one of the things that we implemented was every month, us executives would identify problems in our organization that we just haven't figured out. Either we haven't figured out or we figured out, but we know there's probably a better way or faster way to do it, whether it's managing the factoring process, route designing, route optimization. But we realized that because we hired youthful right out of college, you know, people that maybe even haven't been in our industry, there was that fear or hesitation in speaking up around executives. So what we would do is we would have a monthly Friday where we would say, here's our problems. All the executives get out of the room, including myself, and we would record and they would all brainstorm the problem. We would find problems solved by someone we're paying $50,000 a year to. That us, we couldn't figure out how to best solve the problem. And so I don't think enough leaders get all levels of their team because people think differently. Not everyone thinks the same. And you might have a problem solver that could solve a seven-figure solution in your business that they just don't know that's a problem. And so I think getting more people involved, and like you said, having them ask the questions, why do I do this? You know, I ask route demand planners all the time, why do you do it? Well, because this is my job function. Right, but why? What in the supply chain is this solving across the entire supply chain? And most don't ask that question. They just do their demand plan or they do their logistics. They check the box, but they don't realize the value across the whole supply chain that department depends on.
Man, it's so funny you say that. Earlier this week, I went the opposite direction. Everything I said about the podcast a minute ago, I went the opposite direction. When I was at the ASCM conference in Austin, I had a college kid. It was like the head of an ASCM college chapter pulled me aside and said, hey, can we talk for a couple minutes? And he asked some great questions. I brought him onto the show and said, hey, you know, like why come into the industry? And I think my favorite part of the conversation was, okay, you're a college kid. You know, tell me about your use of ChatGPT. And it was kind of tongue in cheek. And then he broke down. Here's all the ways I'm using it. Like literally, I was going to Austin for my first conference. Let me look up, how do I prepare for a conference? What are the questions I should be? You know, what's attire? Where are there good restaurants in Austin? And I looked at this kid and I was like, oh my God, the future of logistics is in such great hands. We just got to find more like him and then more leaders like you to say, guys, go figure it out and fix it. I love this concept, man.
Oh, 100%. ChatGPT, I mean, when I started getting into that about a year ago, did some really cool training. And you're right, the technology is out there. I remember I was consulting for a brokerage trying to get more business and sales. And I said, have you guys ever used ChatGPT for sales training? And they were like, for sales training? And I said, it's kind of crazy, but watch this. And I said, you know, as a logistics executive, please come up with 10 reasons why not to use a small transportation organization that only specializes in one mode. Okay. So here's the 10 reasons why I don't want to use your company. Then I said, now please reply with multiple reasons why that is not valid. So literally you're letting ChatGPT create all the reasons of that you're going to identify problems in your sales pitch, but then it's also going to give you some solutions to get prepared for those. And so it's just seeing the technology that's out there. You really have no reason not to be prepared or not to have resources that can do it. It's just some people don't know where to ask or where to look.
I love that idea, man. Hey, listen, so we're going to be in Dallas, Fort Worth. You said you love the town. What's the restaurant we got to that I as have never been there? And any listeners who happen to be coming to BCS have to check out.
Yeah. So one of my favorites, which I have a farm and I got horses. And so we're kind of in the country out here in Rome, Georgia, but there's a place called The Ranch and it is a beautiful, like custom hardwoods all over. Like it's almost like a glorified, you know, Yellowstone ranch building, but they have the best bourbon, the best steaks. It's a beautiful steakhouse, great open atmosphere to be able to network and bounce around. But I would say The Ranch is probably my favorite place to go visit when I'm there.
Hey, quick question before I let you go. Somebody wants to reach out, get in touch with you, find out more about Sourcify, or even just, you know, pick your brain on how to become a better sure. candidate. What's the best way to do it?
Yep. So tim@sourcify.net, or most people know me from LinkedIn. You can find me on LinkedIn and hit me up there.
Tim Perkins, appreciate you, brother.
Yes, sir. Take it easy, buddy.